It's breaking news in the Bayou. Get this. This is 100% true, not an urban legend. Sounds like one of those, the start to a scary movie. This just happened like 45 minutes ago. WVUE, New Orleans. Fox 8. Excuse me. I'm all choked up about this. Truck carrying lab monkeys from Tulane University crashes on I-59. Gets better. Dateline, New Orleans. Again, this is just like 45 minutes ago. A truck carrying lab monkeys from Tulane University was involved in a wreck Tuesday on Interstate 59 near mile marker 117, authorities said. Officials said the animals weigh about 40 pounds each, are aggressive towards humans, and require personal protective equipment to handle the monkeys. The monkeys also pose potential health threats. Tulane University was notified and will send a team to retrieve the animals. Now, this guy, Andrew Yawn, he's no sleeper, from Tulane University, is quoted as saying this: non-human primates at the Tulane National Biomedical Research Center are provided to other research organizations to advance scientific discovery. The primates in question belong to another entity and are non-infectious. We are actively collaborating with local authorities and will send a team of animal care experts to assist as needed. But the story gets even stranger. The Jasper County Sheriff's Office advised that if any monkeys leave the wreck site, they should be shot. Five monkeys have been shot and killed so far, but one monkey, at least, remains on the loose. The response and investigation remain ongoing. That is from Louisiana. I don't think the monkey will make its way all the way to Western Pennsylvania. But that's a hell of a story. You know the monkeys are doing something that people who are doing the research don't really want you knowing about. If the command is, if you see the monkey, just shoot it dead. Phew. Anyhow, 866-391-1020. 866-391-1020. Again, very real story. About 45 minutes ago, from a highway in Louisiana. Good. What if the monkey's hitchhiking and you go past it? It's like Paddington Bear or something. Would you pick it up? And then, oh, I wonder how PETA feels about this. Wait for them to chime in. People actively calling for the assassination of monkeys on the side of a Louisiana highway. Tough stuff. All right, let's get into something. I guess that's pretty serious, but something that happened right here in Western Pennsylvania. Last night, Penguins game, and this man, at last check, and that was about an hour ago, I checked with a couple of my police sources. They said he's still in critical condition. So, guy goes over the standard, the wall that holds you at PPG Paints Arena at the Penguins game. Eyewitness who was there talked to us right here at KDK, said this.
So she just happened to be there, kind of checking his pulse, lightly moved his head a little bit because his head was kind of like jarred up against the fence the way he landed.
Oh my gosh.
All of a sudden, this image just poof, like right in front of my eyes. Just like, I was like, and the thud that he hit, I was like, whoa, that was a body. I thought it was like maybe like a dummy. You know how it looked like almost like a movie dummy. You know, just like this body just flashed before my eyes. And I was like, that was a human being.
Oh, man. And there are a few different firsthand accounts of different people that have spoken to the media. But here's the thing, and I want to talk about this at 866-391-1020. Now, I'm not going to victim blame. Sometimes just an accident happens. And I had somebody on, and a guy had called, and he had said he was right there. He saw it all happen. And I tested him about it, and I believe him 100%. He said the guy missed a step, and then in his effort to kind of to correct himself, he kind of overcorrected and missed another step, and before you knew it, he went over. And he had never made it to his seat. He was on his way to his seat, the man who fell. Some people are bemoaning the fact that it's too steep, okay? And I understand that. I get it. At all the venues in town, at the football stadium, at the baseball stadium, and there at PPG Paints Arena, I can understand your trepidation with the slope of the steps and the slope of the seats, and I get it. But here's the thing, and this is something that we do need to talk about. Whenever they build these places, they are charged with the duties, charged with the duty because the fans want this, of being as close to the action as possible for every seat in the house. So you can't have both. If you want that, the design has to be at a pretty decent pitch. That's the way that it works. Now, I'm not somebody who designs stadiums, and I'm certainly not somebody who's smart enough to understand angles. But what I am smart enough to understand is, if you want as many seats as possible close to the action, you're going to have some sort of semi-verticality for that to work. If not, then you're going to be watching the game from the Veterans Bridge. That's just the way that it is, if the slope is going to be very gradual. So again, I'm not victim blaming, but in times when it's convenient, you can't say, well, it's too steep. And then you can't, on the other hand, say, wow, it feels like I'm sitting so far away from the action. This sucks. So if you're willing to compromise that and say, all right, maybe my seat isn't going to be as good. Maybe I can't see the action. Maybe I'm really far away. Maybe I've got to look into the back of the guy's head in front of me. If you're willing to go to that place, then all right. Then we can deal with it not being as steep. But if you truly want value out of your ticket and you want there to be a situation where you sit as close to the playing surface as possible, that's how it's going to be. It can't be both. I'd like for there to be some sort of compromise. And remember, again, sometimes there are just accidents. There are millions upon millions of people in this country every week who go to venues like this and don't have a problem. Although there have been a bunch of people that have contacted me today and said, I won't sit in the top. It's just too steep for me. So where are you on this? 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. We'll hear from Mike Tomlin before we get out of here today, as we always do on Tuesdays. And what about these monkeys that are loose in Louisiana? That surely is pretty wild. Wait just a minute. Now it's time to react here. A lot of young people won't eat chicken with bones. Resident young person Margo needs to chime in here. I'm racking my brain and maybe coming up with a reason. Is it because people younger than like 30, Margo, were brought up on chicken nuggets and chicken fingers and not necessarily like full-on fried chicken or chicken with bones? Or what's the story here?
I have absolutely no clue, because that is not me at all. I would just eat a chicken nugget if I wanted a chicken nugget, if I wanted something with no bones. When I heard that, I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
When they came out with boneless wings, that's a chicken nugget. That is not a boneless wing.
Let's
if I want a wing, I want bones in it.
Go get them, Margo! But you're an old soul. I think that there are a lot of times you don't necessarily fit your demographic. They look at you and they're like, I think sometimes your friends or people who are your contemporaries would say things to you like, what are you, Margo? Like 80 years old? You know?
You think?
Yes, you do things like that, but I enjoy it. I like it. I think that you are a more refined person than a lot of people in your age group. The thing is, those stories, though, they don't just make them up. There's obviously some sort of study that took place. If Kentucky Fried Chicken, whoever the hell they were citing, I only heard that part of it because it perked me up. If they are saying that young people won't eat chicken with bones, it's not that they're afraid of choking. It's obviously because they just grew weary of it. It didn't have it growing up for some reason.
Maybe that's just picky eaters.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
Most young people are the picky eater demographic. I don't know. That's so stupid to me. I am never ordering boneless wings. If I want wings, I want bones in them. If I want fried chicken, I want bones in the fried chicken. I don't understand.
100%. I just made wings the other day. Grilled wings on Sunday. They were fantastic. No, I'm not talking about my culinary prowess. I'm just saying they were good because They took time. It took like an hour to make them. I marinated them overnight. I did three different types.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We bought them on Saturday. We marinated them overnight. My daughter was part of the process. We did all that. We put them in the fridge.
What were the types?
The types were, lemon pepper? So we had like lemon pepper or pepper, like garlic, or no, garlic parmesan. Is what it was.
Farm, okay.
Like lemon pepper parmesan, kind of. It was some sort of sauce. Then we had regular sweet barbecue, because we don't like real spicy barbecue.
Yeah.
And then we had ones that had, you know, like spray butter. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like spray butter and red hot.
That sounds good.
Yes. And then what we did was we put them in three separate, and I think we had 24 between me, my daughter, and my son. My wife wasn't eating them. And they were full wings, not little drummies, full wings. So we had eight of each, okay? And what we did is we put them in three different big Ziploc baggies, you know, like the big freezer bags?
Yep.
And my daughter helped me. My son, of course, he was out doing something. She, you know, she shook them up real good after she sealed them, and then we put them in the fridge overnight.
That sounds amazing.
Yes, but we got a fork and poked holes in them, you know what I mean?
Like,
so that they would absorb sort of the marinade, and then shook them up and put eight, there were eight, eight, and eight, put them in the fridge overnight. We did it like Saturday, I don't know, 2 or 3 o'clock, and then made them Sunday for lunch.
Yum. And eating wings is a whole experience.
Sure
is. You're supposed to get messy. You're supposed to eat them with your hands.
100%. Yes.
Maybe I'm not the resident young person because I've never heard this, but.
Never.
That's crazy.
Never. Never. Just absolutely ridiculous. 866-391-1020. Let's get back into the 22nd Amendment. You know, is this all talk? Is it all smoke and mirrors? Is it all just to rile up the Democrats? Why Trump is even semi-keeping on the table that he could run again? I seem to think it's just, well, to poke at them a little bit. There's no way he's going to fool with the 22nd Amendment and try to run for president again. Is there? Let's talk next. Then we'll hear from Mike Tomlin before we get out of here. Here we go. 866-391-1020. 866-391-1020. Hello to you. Just a little bit of time left. Oh, you know, I do mean this. We had on a guest. You can go back, check out our Odyssey app. Go hit the rewind page. Margo does a great job of chaptering everything on our website. So you can go back and just click the parts of the show that you want to hear. You can go back to 405. A very important thing happened. We're looking for a kidney for a young man from Shaler. Go to the website. Devin needs a donor. And you could spell it, it's spelled D-E-V-E-N. So D-E-V-E-N needs a donor.com. Young man, senior, Shaler High School. His parents were on. And they're making a plea. He needs a kidney. He's full-on failure. And he needs it bad. Dialysis 3-4 days a week right now. And we got to save this kid's life. There's no two ways about it. So click on that link, D-E-V-E-N, needsadonor.com. See if you match. See if somebody you know matches. See if you can just spread the word, please. And let's step in and help this young man. It's a tough situation, but I know that through the power of what we do, we can reach somebody and make this link all click together and happen. So 866-391-1020. Before we're out of here today, just a little bit, we'll hear from Mike Tomlin, as we generally do on Tuesdays. And naturally, he was lost at his news conference today, blaming the offense. Donald Trump, I do want to talk about that. 22nd Amendment. You know, is he just throwing this out there, not answering definitively, like, no, I'm not running for a third term? First, I can't. There's a 22nd Amendment. I'm not going to finagle with that. Is he just leaving it out there open-ended to mess with the Democrats? The more I think about this, the more I think that he's just poking the bear some to get a laugh, which is a strange thing, but it's so Donald Trump. By the way, we talked to Jack in Mount Lebanon. Hi, Jack.
Hi, Colin. How's the family?
So, so great. Doing wonderfully. How are you tonight?
Good, sir. Thank you.
Jack, did you bring out, I have a question, did you bring out the blanket for the bed now that we seem to be full autumn mode and past the warm weather?
Well, I got one on there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. What's your thermostat set at?
I don't have one.
What?
No, I use, I live in an apartment building.
Right.
And there's just, you turn a heater on, you turn it off.
Oh.
I don't have a thermostat.
Does it go seasonally? Do they have, like, the air conditioner for half the year and then the thermostat, or are you able to control it each unit?
Each unit you control.
Okay. Is it get too hot, or is it, do they got it set pretty good for you?
Oh, no. You do it yourself. There's a thermostat on the unit.
Okay.
But it's like your car air conditioner or heater. You do it, you know, whatever you wanted at.
Yeah, we're just always making sure that they got you taken care of over there, Jack.
Oh, yeah, yeah. As soon as when my fridge is stocked, I'm taken care of.
Yep, seems to be that way. So what's on your mind today, Jack?
Oh, not much. I think you're right about Trump. I just think he's jagging him. He's teasing him and teasing him because he likes to do it.
I think you're right because here's the thing. If they really finagled and fiddled with the 22nd Amendment and somehow changed it, which would be a bad precedent, and I'm not for it at all, what would happen is the Democrats would put Barack Obama up against them, and I mean this. It might legitimately, in the run-up to that election, cause a civil war in this country, Jack.
Yeah, but don't they have to change an amendment? Doesn't, like, 30 states have to ratify
it? Oh, yeah, Congress would get involved. It's just not going to happen.
Well, it'd take too long.
Right. And plus, here's the other part that nobody's really – I don't want to say nobody, but – He's going to be 81 years old by the time the next election comes around. No, he's not going to be president, and people aren't going to want to put him up as the Republican candidate either. I think that they have a lot of confidence in J.D. Vance.
Yeah, yeah.
So
you get enough of one person.
Right. I mean, seriously, try being my wife. I'm serious. Margo, how about this? I'm ready to just switch seats with you. So I check the text line periodically, you know, like every 5 minutes or so, every 3 minutes. Here's a text we get from Janet in Delmont, who has called here on the show sporadically, like maybe just a couple times. Janet in Delmont. Are you ready for this, Margo? This is why your star is just soaring. And I will read to her, I will read to you the response I sent to Janet in Delmont.
Okay.
Janet in Delmont sends, I used to just listen to your program for you, but I think Margo is really great with a neat voice. Now I love listening to both of you. That's what Janet in Delmont sends. And I sent back, Margo is a superstar in the making. And Janet says, yes, she has my vote. She acts older and her voice is so cool. So Janet wants you to get the next show here on KDKA.
Thanks, Janet.
Uh-huh. But you're kind of overtaking the big star here at the station, Margo.
I don't know about all that.
I think you are the – I'll say this. You are now the brightest member of the Pratt Pack. Like, when I hear you at night when I'm driving home and I turn the radio on, you definitely are the brightest star of the Pratt Pack. There's Rob, and then – there's you, and like the way he talks, you are definitely the brightest member there. Not including Rob. I'm saying below Rob. You follow what I'm saying?
Thank you.
You're the vice president of the Pratt Pack, that's for sure. You are definitely like the Ed McMahon of this show. That's, you probably don't get that reference, do you?
Mm-mm.
No. You dive in and make like a wham comment, and it's super great and funny, and then you get in and get out. You are, they're going to find, you're wiggling your way into them needing to find a space for a show for you, Margo.
I don't know if I want a whole show. That's the thing.
Here's the thing. What I don't want is a new producer. So I don't want to like dumb you down, but I don't think you should get too good because I don't want to have to get another producer.
That's what you got to.
So why don't you walk in the boss's office in pretty short order and say, hey, here's the deal. I need more money to stay producing. Deal?
Okay, you got to back me up.
All right, I'll be right behind you. Do it tomorrow, 11 o'clock.
I don't know about that.
All right, I'll see you at 10:59 right outside the boss's office. Here we go. So Tuesdays, generally reserved for a little time at the end of the show. We hear from Mike Tomlin, who has his news gathering, Tomlin Tuesdays, and it wasn't real pretty today, just like the game the other night. So what did Coach T have to say? Here's a little snippet.
When you look at the lack of turnovers, is it more, or teams maybe just being more careful with the ball, or are you guys simply just missing opportunities?
I would imagine teams are working to be careful with the ball. I mean, I know we work to be careful with the ball. Sometimes it's just not taking advantage of opportunities. I know we probably dropped three or four balls against Cleveland, for example. And there's a price to pay when you miss opportunities. And so it's not only about producing opportunities, but it's about taking advantage of them. And we hadn't done that. There have been some balls on the ground that we weren't able to recover, for example. And so we're just going to keep working, man. We feel really good about our values regarding our turnover culture, the things that we tangibly do, the physical labor that we do week in and week out on a routine basis, not in a reactionary way relative to the fact that we're not getting turnovers right now. No, it's just a component of our everyday business. It has and will continue to be because we value that component of play. We're not getting the fruit of that labor, but we're committed to continuing to work.
Guys, really, you know, in the past two games, you guys, the quarterbacks have basically averaged getting the ball out before 3 seconds because of their quick reads. What do you guys have to do to take away primary reads more consistently? And you know, and how do you kind of correct what you guys have been doing against that?
You know, there's a lot of answers to that, to be honest with you. None of it earth-shattering or interesting. You change up schematics. You play man. You play bogus zones, all of which we do. We just haven't been doing it well enough to minimize what you discussed, and so we're going to keep working.
Does either the recent play in the secondary or the injury to Elliott make you more likely to pursue a trade for some secondary help?
I think we're always open for business, particularly as we get close to the trade deadline. We're always buyers. We're always trying to position ourselves to be the best that we can be this year. But that not only applies to the secondary that you asked about, I'm sure that applies to all three phases of the game.
Mike, you guys saw Jones basically like a year ago. How does he look different on tape than he did when he was in New York?
He's at the sticks of a really good offense. They're running the ball. They're taking care of it. He's got some eligibles that have been together. He just looks really comfortable in a structured system, and it's going really well for him.
Mike, just one league-wide thing here. As far as about the halfway point, how are you finding the implementation and the communication to the coaches of the expedited review process?
It has been a non-issue.
Mike, there's reports of you guys worked out Valdez Scantling yesterday and reports that you're going to sign him. Can you speak to that? And you're going to add
We're also working out Von Bell and Eddie Jackson today. It's just a normal procedure for us on Monday and Tuesday, like it is for the other 31 teams. We're continually evaluating what's out there and how we could potentially be better. If we sign them, you'll hear about it.
Mike, how has Spencer grown as an extra offensive lineman and PS to fill in for Isaac?
We have no reservations about his ability to perform and perform at a starter level. He's done it in the past. That's why we work to be inclusive regarding his participation. He's done some awesome things at an offensive lineman reporting as eligible. And so I'm excited for him if Isaac is unavailable and he gets an opportunity.
All right, there we go. There's some of Tomlin today. You know, this is like one of the smallest points of that availability, but when he says, if we sign him, you'll find out about it. Very curt, short, condescending. That's all well and good if you're winning, but how impolite this guy is. I'm sorry. It just doesn't fly whenever you're not winning. It comes off so bad. That sticks with me. It does. Yikes.